Thanks for checking out the Root Church podcast today. If this is your first time listening in with us, we want you to know that you are loved. Wherever you're joining us from, we hope that this message encourages you. Now, here's Pastor Rich Wilkerson.
Come on, does he deserve all the glory tonight? Well, we're happy that you're here. It's going to be a great night. Do me a favor, high five three or four people. Say, Merry, Merry Christmas. Merry, Merry Christmas. Say it double because that's really spiritual. Merry, Merry Christmas. You look good. You smell good. You're singing good. Did you bring a Bible with you to church on Christmas Eve? Come on, if you got a Bible, put your Bible up in the air. Wave it like you just do care. Okay. Let's see all the iPhones, iPads, the real spiritual. Oh my goodness. What are you going to do if your battery dies? Hopefully a demon doesn't show up. Okay. Luke chapter 2. I want to read a few verses to you tonight. And believing that God wants to speak to us on this Christmas Eve. I don't know what your year has been like, but I'm believing it's about to get better. Amen? Maybe you started off weak. Maybe it's first time into church all year, but guess what? You made it before the year ended. Anything can happen. Amen? Luke chapter 2, verse 15. I want to read a few verses. This is really the Christmas story or a portion of it. And I've got a few thoughts I want to share with you. And I got a message tonight, not a devotion, but I got a sermon for you. It's going to require you to respond. You're going to have to say amen. You're going to have to say that's good. Maybe say that's for my neighbor. Maybe say preach it, white boy. I don't know. But tonight I'm giving you permission, even on this Christmas Eve night, to verbally engage. The more you engage, the more you're going to enjoy it. Amen. So Luke chapter 2, verse 15, here it is. This is good stuff. It says, when the angels had left them, speaking of Mary and Joseph, when they had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, speaking of this baby that's been born, which the Lord has told us about. So they hurried off and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherd said to them. Verse 19, kind of the foundational verse tonight. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. I want to take the next 30 minutes or so, and I want to preach to you from the simple thought, hold on to Christmas. Hold on to Christmas. I'm believing you're going to be encouraged tonight. Would you pray with me as we ask the Holy Spirit to do what I can't do? Dear Jesus, tonight, Lord, we pause and we stop, and we ask now that you would speak in this place. Lord, as we celebrate your birth, that love came down to us, Lord, we believe that you want to speak to us. Lord, I pray that you would lift heads tonight. I pray that you would encourage people. I pray that people would leave here tonight better because they came into your house. Lord, I thank you that your house is not contingent upon a building, but rather your house is made up of your people. Whether we're gathering in Wynwood or Little Havana, whether a middle school or a theater, God, when we show up together and lift up your name, Lord, there you are in the midst of our praise. So tonight, Lord, have your way. We pray all these things in your Son's name, Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. Come on, all of God's people said, amen. Come on, Voo Church, let's make a little bit of noise at this 7 p.m. gathering. I don't know how the Christmas season has been going for you, but if I can be honest, from my own experience this holiday, it's been kind of a stressful month. And maybe you would agree with me. Maybe your life is absolutely perfect and you would say, no, it's been easy and everything works out for me. But I got a feeling tonight that some people would be in agreement with me that Christmas, it can get complicated. It can get stressful. In fact, some of you right now, like, you had to leave one party to come to the church party to get to another party. And right now, as we're in this service, you're already thinking about the next thing you got to do. Some of you still haven't gotten all of your gifts. You're praying, is Target still open right now? You've checked Google Maps and you're wondering, is there a Walmart nearby? I need to buy a bow. I need to get wrapping paper. And everything seems to be moving so fast. It can get complicated. Yesterday, I was headed to go and visit some of my friends. They're incredible leaders in our church, Gene and Alina Costume. Fantastic leaders. Yeah, come on, we can give them a big round of applause, whether you know them or not. Just clap, it's fun. But yesterday, they gave birth to their first son ever. Little Richard Wilkerson Costume, they named him after me. Can you believe that? Made it up. No, it's not his name. His name is Uri Dior Costume. And they had their first son. And I was pumped up. So I wanted to go and I wanted to see them and celebrate with them. And so my friend and I, we got into my car and we started to make the drive all the way from Wynwood to Baptist Hospital. And I don't know if you've noticed this, but there's this thing called traffic right now. Lots of traffic. And so we found ourselves in traffic about an hour into our drive. We got so hungry, so let's pull over and get some food. And as we were pulling into the parking lot, my car started to manifest. I think it was a demon, but actually it started to make noises I've never heard before. And I had to put it into park. And as I put it into park, the RPMs, they still started going up to three. It was like I'm like, what's going on with my car? And so I get out of my car, I turn the ignition off. The car is overheating. It's smoking. I'll never forget it. There's like this green ooze coming out from the radiator and my car completely broke down. Now I can handle my car breaking down, but it got worse because that's what happens sometimes when things get complicated. I went to pull my phone out, and when I pulled my phone out, I was on 5% battery. How many of you could survive anywhere as long as you got life on that battery, right? My phone dies. I can't get an Uber. I have to take the train all the way back to downtown, get off at the government center, then get onto the mobile pass, which takes me to Biscayne Park. Then I start walking home. Can you believe this? 2016, I'm walking home until I finally found a yellow cab. I hailed him down. I got home 3 hours after, never even getting to see the baby. And I thought to myself, is this Christmas season ever gonna come to an end? I'm sorry, I'm just venting with you a little bit tonight. I'm stressed. Maybe you're not stressed. But sometimes during this season, it doesn't feel like Christmas. It feels like stressmas. It feels like chaos-mas. It feels like I have a little bit less money-mas. Anything but Christmas. And if we're not careful, we can, during this season, start to hope and wish and even start to think, when will this thing come to an end? I'm just ready to get through it. In fact, maybe if you're even honest tonight, if you would pause for a moment, you would say, Rich, I gotta be honest with you. I feel like in many ways my life is starting to break down. Or maybe you'd even say, my life is already broken down. I think tonight what I wanna try to do is if you're in that position of hoping and waiting to just let this season get through, I wanna try to encourage you to slow down for a moment. Because Christmas is actually full of power and wonder and encouragement, but you have to stop and you have to pause in order to experience it. Luke 2, as I read it tonight, is beautiful scripture, but there's this one verse that I saw that spoke to me in a bigger way. In the midst of all of my anxiety, all of my circumstances going, all of the things that I need to get to, I was reading this verse, and this is what it says. I mean, just try to get the picture. The shepherds have come now. They've got news. They're coming to the place where Mary and Joseph are. And as they get to this place, they come and they worship the baby and all of this miracles are happening. But the Bible says in Luke 2, verse 19, but Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. I love that verse. Because it shows us that in all of the chaos, by the way, the Christmas story is one of chaos. If you're giving birth in a barn with goats and horses, how many of you know that would probably get a little crazy? Amen? But Mary, she stops in a moment that many people would have been breaking down. The Bible says that she treasures these things in her heart and she ponders them. Here's what the word ponder means, because it's not a word that we use. I ponder every once in a while. But the word ponder means to consider deeply. It means to weigh out, to think about in a deep way. What if I told you that there's some things about the Christmas story that you should consider a little bit deeper, that you should weigh for a little while longer? There's some things about the Christmas story that you shouldn't just pass through. There's some things about the Christmas story that you should hold on to. Yeah, yeah. Hold on to Christmas. When I say hold on to Christmas, I don't mean keep your tree up all the way till March, okay? I don't mean put on Mariah Carey in the month of July and start singing, you know, some of her songs. That's not what I mean by holding on to Christmas. What I mean is that the truths of this story are things that shouldn't just affect us one time a year, but rather they are things that we should consider and carry with us every single day out of the year. We ought to hold on to Christmas. Come on, Voo Church, make a little bit of noise in the 7 p.m. gathering if you believe it. Hold on to Christmas. We tend to hold on to the things that we treasure. Tonight, I want to give you three simple truths that you should ponder, that you should consider. Because if you're in the moment where you feel like you're about to break down, or maybe you would even go as far to say that you are broken down, I think you need to stop for a moment. You need to pause, and you need to consider Christmas. Very first thing I want you to write down tonight, as it comes to the Christmas story, and the very first thing I want you to think about as you leave this place tonight is this simple statement: the belief of a mother. The belief of a mother. I think the first thing that pops out at me whenever I read the story of Mary and Joseph is this girl named Mary. There's something about Mary. She is powerful. She is unique. I don't know what your mom was like, but I got a praying mom, okay? My mom, I'm here today because my mom believed in me and prayed for me. You ever notice that moms, they can believe in their kids? It doesn't matter what their kids are doing. Their kids could be in jail. They're like, I still think he could be the president. I'm like, I don't know about that, right? Moms have this deep belief in their children. Like, I'm a guy, and when I look at babies, I got to be honest with you, like, most babies, they all kind of look alike. I can't really tell babies apart. Like, moms have this talk. I'm like, how old's your baby? 26 months? What the heck does that mean, you know? But moms, when they look at a child, when they see their child, they see someone unique. They see someone fearfully and wonderfully made. They see something specific. There's power in the belief of a mother. Is there anybody in this room that would go as far as to say that you know that you are where you are today because you had a mother or a grandmother who believed in you? Come on, let's just go ahead right now and give a big shout out to all the moms out there who believed in us. Mary, I don't know all of her qualities, but one of the greatest qualities that she had was that she was somebody who simply believed. And when you stop and pause and consider Christmas, what you're going to do is your belief is going to increase. Your belief is going to grow. Because a Christmas story is wild. It's nuts. It's chaotic. It's stressful. Here's how it goes. Mary, about 15 years of age, she's pledged to be married to Joseph. She's engaged to a guy named Joseph. And one day, the angel of the Lord, his name was Gabriel, he comes to Mary. He says, Mary, you're going to give birth to the Savior of the world. His name, you're going to call him Emmanuel, God with us. Now, this all sounds awesome and this all sounds epic, but there is a big, big problem here, folks. And the problem is that Mary is a virgin. And how on earth can a virgin give birth to a child? There's some science there that doesn't make sense. I remember when I was a youth pastor and this poor kid, he came in one time, he was crying pretty bad and he had gotten his girlfriend pregnant. I felt bad for him, but he looked at me and he was crying with that, you know, asthma cry. And he said to me, Pastor Rich, I just don't know what happened. I said, you want me to explain to you what happened, son? You know, like, something happened here for her to get pregnant, okay? We're gonna get through this, but we gotta first start by being aware that something happened, okay? Something happened, okay? But in this case, this was much different because Mary is a virgin. And so when God comes and brings this big promise to her, Mary, get ready, you're going to bring the Messiah into the world, you're going to bring the Savior into the world. Mary, she's this awesome young girl who believes in God, but she's kind of thinking to herself, how on earth is this going to happen? In fact, the scriptures tell us in Luke chapter 1, when the angel of the Lord appears, she replies back to the angel, how? Cool story. Great promise, but how? Have you ever felt that way before? Some preacher comes and gives you some big promise over your life, or some mentor looks at you and says, you got potential. Some teacher looks at you and says, you're gonna change the world. And you hear the promise, you hear the statement, but if you're anything like me, sometimes we tend to say, but how? How's that gonna happen? Here's what I've learned about God. God will always give you the what before he gives you the how. See, the how always requires faith. A lot of you, last year, God already spoke to you. Some of you got a word from God like 5 years ago, like 8 years ago, and you know what you're supposed to do, but you're still on the verge of asking this question, how am I going to do it? And because you just keep asking how, you never ever step further. Many people are going, I don't feel like God speaks to me. Well, if you don't feel like God's speaking to you, you might want to go back to the last thing that he told you to do, and maybe he's just waiting on you to obey him in the thing he told you to do, and once you obey him, maybe he'll give you the rest of the directions. Mary says, how is this possible? I'm a virgin. It's impossible for me to give birth. And I love the angel's response. The angel responds, Luke chapter 1, verse 34. How will this be, Mary asked the angel, since I am a virgin? And the angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come on you. That's a word for somebody in this room. But you're going to have to stop and ponder, consider, and to think deeply for just 1 minute. How are you going to see your dream occur? How are you going to see your marriage restored? How are you going to see your kids grow up to be God-fearing adults who make an impact in this world? How are you going to step out and watch God show up? I'll tell you how. It's when the Holy Spirit comes on you, but you got to make yourself available and you got to step out in faith and trust the Lord. Come on. Can somebody in the 7 p.m. just make a little bit of noise? Come on, let's stir up the faith in this place. I believe people are getting their belief back. Mary simply believes the angel, and would you believe this virgin gives birth to Jesus? What I love is this. Luke chapter 1, verse 45. Mary, after she finds out that she's pregnant, she goes to visit her cousin Elizabeth. Elizabeth is carrying the child, which is John the Baptist, the first cousin of Jesus. John the Baptist is going to be born as a forerunner to Christ. And the Bible says that when Mary walks in the room, the baby on the inside of Elizabeth starts jumping for joy. And Elizabeth looks at Mary and starts to sing her praises. And then she says this, Luke 1, verse 45. She says, blessed is she, speaking of Mary, who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her. That's a good word right there. And the word is simply this, is that there is a blessing on the other side of you believing. Come on, if you would just believe again. Come on, if you would get your dream back. Come on, if you wouldn't quit now, there's a blessing on the other side. Anybody believing for some big blessings in 2017? Come on, you ought to right now just begin to believe. Lift the faith in this room. I believe, God, that you've got something in store for me. There's a blessing on the other side of your believing. And maybe you feel like you're about to break down. Maybe you're going, Christmas, hurry up, go, go, go. Give me a new year. I need favor. I want a new year, new me. But I would encourage you to stop and to ponder and to treasure up all of this in your heart and consider just for a moment the belief of a mother. Because tonight, maybe there's something that you've given up on that God is saying, if you would just believe again, you would walk into the blessing of it. Hold on to Christmas. This isn't just good on Christmas Eve. This is good on July 4th. This is good in August. This is good in September. Come on, this is the good news that when we believe in our God, he promises us a great blessing. Come on, Little Havana Voo Church, make some noise up in this house. How's it gonna happen? Through the Holy Spirit. I love that. The Holy Spirit's gonna come upon your business. The Holy Spirit's going to come upon your family. The Holy Spirit is going to come upon your dream. The Holy Spirit is going to come upon your children. How? The Holy Ghost. You just step out in faith and you watch as God speaks to you. Hold on to Christmas. The first thing to consider and to ponder is the belief of a mother. The second thing that I want us to look at from the Christmas story that we need to consider. This is my favorite one, I think. Secondly, first was the belief of a mother. The second is the grace of a father. The grace of a father. You want to talk about like a Jerry Springer story? Look no further than the first couple chapters of any one of the Gospels. Because let's just try to, you know, reflect for a moment. And this is fun. I know you got mucho bueno to go to. Did I say that right that time? Bummer. I apologize. I'm working on it. I think one of the unsung heroes in the whole Christmas story is this guy named Joseph. I mean, let's just, for a minute. Joseph is engaged to this girl named Mary. Now, the Bible, in fact, I'm going to read it to you. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother, Mary, was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, that's a biblical word for saying sex, praise God, tough crowd, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, meaning he was a good Jew, he lived his life according to the Mosaic and Levitical law, and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. So I want you to get the parameters of the story, because this is kind of hilarious and also very daunting. Joseph is a good dude. Joseph is a guy who lives according to the law. The law essentially could be summed up an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. And the Bible says that Mary one day has to come and obviously tell him that she's expecting a child. Now, fellas, just try to go there with me for a second. They are living under the law, which means that as they were engaged, they were not having sex together. Joseph knew that. I mean, he knew he wasn't having sex with her. And so his bride comes to him one day and he's like, hey, Joe. So I've got something to share with you. I'm expecting a baby. And can you imagine like Joseph's response? We know he knows that they've never done this before. And like we said earlier, you have to do something, right, for that to happen. So Joseph's like, yo, where is this dude? I'm gonna kill this dude. Let me find this dude. And she's like, well, it's kind of complicated where he is. I would say he's everywhere. This is a tough crowd, I'm telling you. Working my guts out up here. I'd say he's everywhere. He's just everywhere. What do you mean? He's everywhere. You tell me somewhere where he is, because I'm going to find this dude. And she's like, well, it's different. You see, this child is the Son of God. Okay, like, I don't know, man. But that's where I'm like, deuces, I'm out. She lost her mind. I mean, couldn't you see the next Jerry Springer episode? Woman claims it's the Son of God. Husband, you know, it'd be awful, right? But look at this. I want you just to notice the scriptures in Matthew 1. This is what stuck out to me. This is beautiful. The Bible says that Joseph was a man under the law. Now understand, according to the law, this is not today, this is not what I'm advocating, but according to the law 2,000 years ago, if a woman was caught in adultery, you guys know the story, they would be stoned to death. Meaning, according to the law, Joseph had every right to have her stoned, to have her killed, to have her put to death for her actions. Yet when Joseph found out the news, before the angel came to him, what does the Bible say? The Bible says that he decided he was going to divorce her quietly. Why? So that there wouldn't be any public disgrace or embarrassment that would come upon her. So what it tells me is this, is that the law says if you do good, you get good, but grace, by definition, is the unmerited favor of God. See, the gospel is not the proclamation that the good will be blessed. The gospel is the proclamation that even the bad will be blessed if they put their trust in Jesus. Joseph, he behaves in a gracious way. He does not give Mary what she deserves, but rather through grace, he says, I don't want to publicly expose her. I would rather cover her and exonerate her and not bring a lot of public attention to her. I don't know about you, ma'am, but if our Heavenly Father is the author of grace, and if Jesus, according to John chapter 1, is grace in the flesh, wouldn't it be just fitting for the story that when the stepfather is picked for Jesus, that he would be a man of grace? I think God picked Joseph because Joseph walked in grace. He was not a man that held unforgiveness. He was not a man that walked around with offense. He wasn't a man that walked in bitterness, but rather he was a man who extended grace even to the least of these. When she didn't deserve it, he said, I'm going to love you anyways. Can we just be honest? Like, Joseph, like, if you go through, like, Mary has gotten a lot of attention, amen? I mean, like, people, like, and I'm glad Mary's got attention. Some people would go as far as to praying to Mary. We don't pray to Mary because we only have one. His name is Jesus. He's our high priest. We can honor Mary. We can revere Mary. But we pray to Jesus. He's our Lord and Savior. But Mary, like, I mean, she's got like statues and stuff. But like nobody, no, like nobody talks about Joseph. They're like, oh, Joey? Yeah, Joey. No. Joseph the carpenter. Like they're not statues and people talking. He's not Saint Joseph. But what I love about Joseph is he was a guy who was just happy to be in the story. I know a lot of people, man, that unless they're the lead in the story, they don't want any part of it. But understanding that you're a Christian, it means that you're not a part of your own story. You're a part of the God story. History is his story. And I just want to play a part in his story. I think as we stop and as we ponder and as we consider Joseph, the grace of a father. I wonder tonight, as you're going to get out of here and you're going to go to whatever it is you're going to, who is it in your life right now that you need to let off the hook? Who is it tonight that you need to forgive? Well, Rich, I would forgive them if they would come and apologize. No, that's not what forgiveness is about. Forgiveness doesn't wait for an apology. Forgiveness understands that any area of your life that you're holding unforgiveness, it's like drinking poison expecting the other person to die. It's crippling you. It's stopping you. It's preventing you from walking into the destiny that God has planned for you. And when I just stop for a minute, and when I let it weigh deeply in my life, when I think deep enough about it, when I ponder it, when I treasure it, when I hold on to Christmas, what I discover is that I need to let go of the offense. I need to let go of the bitterness. I need to release it. I need to let some people off the hook so that I can move forward into what God has for me. Can you imagine if Joseph wouldn't have decided to be a part of the story? What if he said, you know what, this is too difficult. This is too crazy. She's nuts. I don't believe her. None of us would even know who Joseph is. But because he was willing to lean in with forgiveness and to walk with grace, tonight, 2,000 years later, we're talking about this man of God and how he impacts us here today. I believe forgiveness is charting a course for you to walk into your destiny. Come on, VU Church. Somebody make some noise in this place. The grace of a father. Some things to ponder. Number one, the belief of a mother. Number two, the grace of a father. And then thirdly, as we get ready to close tonight, it's simply this, the birth of a Savior. The birth of a Savior. I like using that word Savior because yes, Jesus is our helper. Yes, Jesus is our counselor. Yes, Jesus is our lawyer. Yes, Jesus is our doctor. I like all the different things that describe him. But the thing that I am after, that I need the most, is a Savior. Because when I'm broken down, guess what? I don't just need someone to come and give me a little pick-me-up. I need someone to come and rescue me. And that's what Christmas is about. And this message in this moment, it's not something just to celebrate one time in the year. It's rather that you understand that when you encounter Jesus, When you encounter the Savior, everything about your life, it changes and it transforms. Jesus did not come to change you from the outside in. He came to change you from the inside out. His message was not one of behavior modification. His message was one of heart transformation. 2,000 years ago, in the most chaotic of times, in a dirty stable, in a manger, God the Father sent his Son in the form of a little baby. Divinity wrapped up in humanity came to encounter us. He came to save us because we were broken down. And when you're broken down, you can't move. And we couldn't get to God, but praise God for Jesus. He came to us. Didn't come on a white horse. Didn't come in a mansion. He didn't come in some way that we could not relate, but rather he came in the form of a baby, just like all of us. He was born homeless so that we would know that one day it's only in him and through him that we could ever find our true home. This man, Jesus, he grew up. And he grew up to be a great teacher, but he grew up to be a great Savior. He taught us things that I'm still trying to grasp. He says, love your neighbor as you love yourself. He says things like, if somebody hits you in the face, you should turn the other cheek. He says, if someone asks you to go 1 mile, go with them too. His teaching was radical. His teaching was a paradox. His teaching was counterculture. He literally flipped the world upside down in how they thought. Everything about his life, it's changed us even tonight. Oh, I know the malls have got Santa Claus and the malls have got Christmas songs. And just like humanity, we're making money and commercializing and merchandising, all of it. Yet we would be mistaken if we didn't stop and pause and recognize what it's all about. It's all about a Savior being born who grew into a man and taught us how to live. And ultimately, he went to a cross and he died for your sins and my sins. And 3 days later, he resurrected from the grave to give us life and life more abundantly. He came to get us back on track. He came to reignite our life that we don't have to live broken down, but we can move forward in him. Hold on to Christmas. Jesus came. And he took all of what we have, which is our sin, so that we could receive all that he has, which is his righteousness.
Our community at Root Church aims to reach our city and beyond with the life-transforming message of Jesus. Thank you for your support. If you want to further connect with us, you can find us online at rootchurch.com or on any social media platform at rootchurch.com.